CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
So, Mara, one of the most frequently asked questions I get when I tell people what I do is, do you watch the shows? Now, it's so funny to me because, like, yeah, of course we do, because how would we do our jobs? But actors have also asked me that, and I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah. They're surprised when I'm up to date on stories. I don't know if you get that, too.
I absolutely do.
But, you know, you and I don't just watch the shows. We discuss the many ins and outs of them, like, throughout the day.
And so, into the evening.
And into the evening sometimes. Yes, yep. Yes, that's true. On the weekends, walking on the street. And case in point, like on a recent B&B episode, so Wyatt told Liam that Flo knew him better than anyone else in the world. And, you know, it gave me pause for a second because I thought, she does? You know, and then I talked to you about it and I realized that, yes, it's entirely possible that she does because really Wyatt has a history that we are unaware of. This is a character who came to the canvas in 2013 as a guy in his 20s and had a whole life experience before we ever met him. And, you know, that's why I feel that the introduction of Flo has worked so well in this story because it's entirely plausible that she existed and we wouldn't have known about her.
Yeah, Wyatt was a blank slate. And so filling it, you know, in with Flo, if you will, doesn't really contradict anything that we knew about him previously. At the same time, I still find it like a little bit of a hard sell, or at least a little bit ripe for the loving mocking that we sometimes do with our shows as fans, that the person who knows Wyatt better than anyone in the world is someone who he never mentioned on air in the 6 or 7 years that we've known him. You made the point to me that Wyatt could have told any one of his many B&B paramours all about Flo and conversations that took place off screen, which is totally fair. But I have the same sort of like, really, Belle, go off in my head over Shauna being Quinn's best friend. I'm just saying, if I got married to a Forrester and didn't invite my best friend to the wedding, I would be in deep trouble with said best friend.
But, you know, I think those are the kind of things that you do have to let go because, like, maybe Quinn wanted to leave her life in Vegas in the past when she met Eric. Perhaps she and Shauna had lost touch. You know, I'm sure you have friends who you may not speak to all the time, but when you see them, it's like you talked yesterday. And plus, Eric and Quinn got married with, like, three people in the Forrester house. There didn't seem to be any non-family members there or many family members who approved of their union, for that matter,
this is all true, as I recall.
But I feel like a rewrite like this one is, you know, you can overlook as opposed to a situation, you know, with like with the dearly departed Stefan DiMera on Days of Our Lives. Because, you know, from Vivian's arrival on the show in 1992, it was clear that she wanted a child of her own, even claiming Nikki was hers until he was proven to be Carly and Lawrence's. Now, if she had actually given birth to a son, it's hard to believe it took us 26 years to hear about it.
Yeah, I think as soap viewers, we are constantly judging on a sliding scale of the absurd, right? Like from the weeest raise of an eyebrow to an outright, like, okay, this is ridiculous. Uh-huh. And kids that people forgot to mention having is such a tried and true like thing in daytime. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to scoff at it. Right. Your Vivian point is a great one. And maybe I'm digressing just a little bit, but like Obrecht on GH was obsessively in love with Faison and ashamed that she had borne him a daughter, Brit, and not a son, which he coveted. And then when the show decided later on to make Faison Nathan's father, we were just supposed to forget that whole thing that we'd just seen play out on screen a few years earlier. You know, I guess my point is that it is a lot easier on the audience when a show plays fast and loose with off-screen history than with on-screen history. If we were to suddenly meet, like, Brooks' never before mentioned high school sweetheart on B&B coming in to make a play to win her away from Ridge, that would be harder to swallow than the Flo Wyatt scenario because we've seen Brooke with our own eyes since 1987.
Right. And I'm sure that's part of the temptation for writers to keep bringing in new characters because they are such blank slates and you aren't encumbered by the years or decades of history that so many of the characters on the canvases today have. And I totally get it. But, you know, back to Wyatt for a moment, in theory, you could do the same with Liam. I mean, he's another quote-unquote newer character whose life before adulthood has never been explored because he showed up as Bill's 20-something son in 2010. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole history he could potentially have to mine. Like, did his mother, Kelly, have siblings? Did he have a high school sweetheart? I mean, it's not as though Brad Bell hasn't found plenty for Liam to do, but we're talking about two very successful newer characters in the Spencer Boys that provide a lot of opportunity for the writing team at B&B.
I see your point for sure, but I have to say that I don't think my heart can handle the idea of Liam in yet another love triangle. So I'm going to go on record by saying that I hope he did not have a high school sweetheart. But by all means, bring on Kelly's siblings. I've got no objection there.
Well, our guest today is Darren Brooks, who plays Wyatt on B&B, and he has a lot going on, both off screen and on. He is a new dad, and Wyatt is in the thick of yet another romantic entanglement. So let's get him on the phone to talk about everything he's got going on. Hi, Darren.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Well, we are so excited you're joining us today. There is so much to talk to you about.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
On screen and off.
Yeah, lots going on over here in the Brooks household.
Indeed. Okay, well, let's start with Wyatt. So now he's never really lacked for like the company of a beautiful woman. And there are two right now in his orbit. So first, tell us about reteaming with Courtney Hope and what's it been like just to have Sally and Wyatt back together?
It's been great. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, for a little while she was off the canvas there for a little bit. And then they kind of paired us up together. The beginning of the Hope and beginning of the Sally and Wyatt storyline and everything. And it was great. You know, we hit it off and jumped into it and you know, we had a lot of fun kind of starting out this, Wyatt and Sally. I think we call them the sort of like the castaways, you know, in the beginning of the storyline, you know, their relationship, you know, the two people that were kind of cast aside and put back, you know, kind of put together.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about them as a couple? Like, do you think that they're a good match?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good, they're good sort of qualities between the two of them. Like I said, they kind of have that commonality of, you know, sort of being cast aside from their former people, former lovers, you know, whatnot. I mean, you know,
you
with
were
Sally,
dumped. I was dumped.
Well, I mean, Wyatt's been dumped by everybody. Let's face it. All right. Let's, that's just, he's always second fiddle to Liam. I mean, it just kind of sucks. But for Sally, yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing with Thomas and before Thomas came back on, and, you know, in the picture, you know, the whole story was that he just kind of left her and she came back to town and obviously the first couple of scenes with Wyatt and Sally involved a gun at his place, you know, and all that. So, it was a fun time, kind of a fun opening for those two characters, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But I do think there's a lot of good qualities between the two of them. I think there's, you know, they both, you know, go after things and go after what they want. And, you know, Wyatt's the kind of guy that kind of shoots first, asks questions later. And I think Sally kind of has a little bit of that quality as well. You know, kind of just goes after things, you know, things that she wants and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of good similarities between the two of them. And that's what they kind of connect on.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other woman on Wyatt's mind is Flo, played by Katrina Bowden. So first, tell us about your working relationship with her.
Katrina's great. I mean, you know, she was, you know, she was sort of, there was a group of people that came in for the casting and everything. And she was kind of my pick, out of the, I think there were five different women and stuff that came in for the role. And she was great. You know, I thought she had a fun sass to her and you know, she had funny qualities and kind of sassy and stuff like that when we were, doing the auditions and stuff. So, She was my pick and she's been great. You know, I think she kind of just jumped in head first into this character and all these episodes that they've been kind of throwing her way and she hit the ground running, and she's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you watch 30 Rock?
I didn't. Everybody was saying she was on 30 Rock, and I mean, sorry, Katrina, but I need to watch it. I mean, I love comedies and all that, and I don't know why maybe Kelly and I'll watch that tonight, because I wanted to see it. I just don't know why I haven't gotten around to sitting down and just kind of watching her episodes, but I heard she was super funny on that, so it was great.
I mean, it's a modern classic. You got to get into it.
I know. There's a lot of things I haven't seen, though, because, I mean, I still haven't watched all the episodes of Seinfeld or Larry David's shows and all that stuff. I haven't seen a lot of things that are classics, and I'm just terrible at getting back into it.
Now, when they brought the character of Flo on, were you excited that they were kind of deciding to fill in some of the blanks in Wyatt's backstory?
Yeah, that was a huge thing for me. I thought it was a great idea when Brad first told me about it. He said, you know, we're going to have, you know, a high school sweetheart, you know, an ex-girlfriend of his come back into town. I was very excited about it because, you know, we've been talking about that for years. I mean, you and I as well, you know, through interviews and stuff like that. I said, you know, we don't know a lot about Wyatt's past and Quinn's past and you know, what type of people they were, or you know, the things that they got into when they were younger, or relationships that they had and people that they knew. So I was super excited when this kind of came into fruition because I thought, you know, it's like a great kind of opening into Wyatt and Quinn's backstory and where they came from. And Las Vegas, I mean, that's kind of a cool little place to be from, I guess, you know, with all the things they got into. But with Flo and Shauna, it's been kind of a great little foursome for us.
Well, it's kind of amazing that 6 years after you joined the show, you know, we're finally getting a glimpse into who Wyatt was before we first saw him.
Right. And, yeah. Naked in the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's how he came. And we don't, you know, besides Quinn, there really hasn't been a lot. So I think it's, Mara and I were just talking about how incredible it is to just be able to mine that from a character, because, you know, you're like a blank slate in a sense before Wyatt came to town.
Right. And I think there's a lot more to look into as well. You know, I mean, we just kind of scratched the surface, I think, with Flo and Shauna. I mean, not just like people in their past, but like, you know, you could still kind of delve into why we had to leave abruptly in the middle of the night. I mean, we vaguely talk about it in conversations, but I don't think we've ever really stated what exactly happened and in detail of what happened and why they had to leave and what trouble they got into and stuff like that. So, I mean, that could be kind of a fun story too, if you know, Brad and them wanted to delve more into that as well. But it's kind of a rich history. You know, you could talk about anything, really. You can kind of make it up, like you said, like a blank slate, a blank canvas. You know, you can kind of just talk about a lot of it, or even show kind of in flashbacks too. I loved what they did with Quinn, you know, talking about her childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's something there too that could be kind of fun, but it's kind of like you can do whatever you want, really, you know?
Right. I mean, does Wyatt even have grandparents?
I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Where are they? You know what I mean? And what are they doing? Are they sitting at a slot machine in Vegas? I don't know. I don't know.
I know. And yes, they are.
Yeah, and yes, they are. Yes.
So we've you know, had some chuckles about Wyatt and his romantic permutations. He seems to fall in love awfully quickly. if there's a woman on the canvas besides Brooke who he hasn't been with, I would be surprised. I think we're doing the math on that right. Why do you think Wyatt can't find the one?
Well, I think for starters, when he first started on you know, the show and everything, I think it's more like he kept going after his brother's girlfriends, and then that's just a recipe for disaster right there.
He really hasn't learned that lesson.
No, he hasn't. You know, he just keeps going after them. But I don't know. I mean, I guess if I could kind of, I mean, I don't know if I could nail it down to one thing, it's just he goes after what he wants, like I said. And I mean, a lot of times, you know, he goes all in before he learns everything about people or knows everything about people or, you know, whatever. I think that, you know, it could be a good thing and a bad thing, I guess, giving all of yourself right away and to each person. And I don't know, maybe there's something to that as well, where it just kind of, you know, he loves really quickly and really passionately, but then, you know, something happens or whatever, and maybe it's not the right match, you know what I mean? As opposed to like taking it slow. Wyatt doesn't like to take it slow, let's face it.
He does not. Well, also, you really can't on a half-hour show.
No, you like, can't. You kind of got to move that along. Yeah, you kind of got to just get it done.
You have 18 minutes to tell that story every day. There's no time for like too much nuance. So tell us what it was like to be part of the Beth Phoebe baby switch story. Because that like dominated the canvas for so much of the year.
Yeah, that was a huge story. It was a great story. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, I've been there for 6 years. We haven't done like a baby switch. We haven't done like a big kind of, yeah, baby switch story thing like that. And it was kind of a first for me, because I think when I was on Days too, I don't think we did any kind of baby switch type of deal over there too. So this was kind of a cool story, and just kind of dealing with the relationships of that, you know, with, you know, Wyatt and his brother and his dad and his ex, you know, high school sweetheart, his ex love, and the girl he currently loves. Like, there's a lot going on, I think, for Wyatt, emotionally as well. And, I thought it was a great story. It was a fun kind of thrilling story. I think, you know, sometimes it kind of took a long time to get some things to kind of happen. But then once it did, I remember seeing the episode with, Thomas and Liam and everybody up on the roof of, you know, CBS or, Forrester or wherever it was, you know, and I was just like, it's such a cool episode, you know, mm-hmm. such a great, great story, and just kind of how they kind of tied it all together, and just this epic moment on the helicopter pad, you know, up on the rooftop. I just thought it was beautifully shot, and just I thought it was kind of fun, you know. It was kind of different, but it was a fun it was definitely a fun episode and a fun story to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. So on yesterday's episode, Liam and Wyatt were chatting in that Forrester like sub office, like the second office that everybody uses. So like,
oh yeah, the drafting room or whatever, the drafting closet.
Interns go in there. Everyone goes in there. So like, what is Wyatt's current job?
he works with his dad over at Spencer, I think. Uh-huh. Currently,
like, why are the Spencer boys both at Forrester right now?
That's just the thing. It's one of the two. You know, we lead double lives. What can I say? Because what is it? I think Liam's over there right now. Liam is. I don't even know what Liam's doing there. But I was going to visit him, I think, and he's in that. The closet where everything happens.
But didn't Wyatt get his own office at Spencer recently?
Yeah. So I was shocked. Yeah, he's got his own office. He's doing the day to day.
You're really
over
moving
there.
On up.
Hey, I'll take it. Look, I mean, Wyatt's got to do something. You know what I mean? He's got to be put to work somehow.
I feel like there's never been a second office at Spencer. I was like, who's this?
Yeah. Well, I think back in the day when I first started, I think Liam had his office, right? Because mm-hmm. he was over there doing that. So I kind of take it as like
his
Wyatt's
office
kind
too.
Of doing, yeah. Wyatt's kind of doing Liam's job right now, you know, until Bill has a change of heart and Wyatt does something stupid and then that's it. But yeah, he's moving on up in the world and he's a businessman, and I know they're putting me in a lot more suits lately. So they want me to be a little more, looking good and dapper. And I was like, hey, I'll take it. I love wearing suits.
It's always nice when you get a wardrobe upgrade.
Yeah. You know what I mean? As opposed to just plaid shirts that I've been wearing for years. I think, you know, the rustic, brawny man type look is retired for a little while, which is nice.
And suits are also, you know, some might say an upgrade from being shirtless, which you've also done a fair amount of on the show.
Yeah. Listen, you go from one extreme to the other. You're either not wearing any clothes or you're wearing three layers, three-piece suits. I mean, you can't have an in-between, I guess. You know, it's fashion. It's bold. It's beautiful, you know?
That's funny. Well, I would love to talk about Wyatt's relationship with Quinn. At this stage, how would you describe it? And tell us about working with Rena.
Rena, I love Rena. You know, Wyatt's relationship with Quinn is very funny. Rena and I always joke that Quinn is Wyatt's first love. It's just a fun joke that we have. Just this overbearing mother. She gets into everything. She has an opinion on everything, and Wyatt just can't take it. But I think it's kind of nice, the relationship they have, because it's real. I think a lot of people can have that overbearing parent and that relationship where they're just meddling in everything and asking questions about everything and, you know, talking about everything when the child doesn't want to talk about anything with said overbearing parent. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the fun part that Quinn and I, or Rena and I, when we started on the show, you know, we really wanted to do that because there wasn't really that kind of a relationship on the show that we saw. And we kind of took that opportunity because we wanted it to be just something different and fun and sarcastic. And I mean, Rena she's so funny. And like, you know, when we get in those scenes, you know, she makes some awesome, bold choices. And I love that because I get to play off something else, you know, too. And, you know, we just have a good time, you know, I love when they write, you know, Quinn and Wyatt scenes, because there's just so much that we can play with it. And there's a lot of fun. And like I said, I wish we could do more of that stuff too, because she's so good at being that, character, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a fun time. Yeah.
I also love his relationship, Wyatt's relationship with Bill. So talk about your relationship with Don.
Don's great. Don, I like, Don is, you know, he's a big personality. But he's great. He's the day, you know, he's got six boys, you know, he technically has eight with Scott and I, you know, he treats us like one of his own, you know, he's always asking about, you know, Kelly, and he's asking about, you know, Scott and Ford. And, you know, he is kind of like, he's this dad that we have sort of, you know, grown to love on the show and off, you know, he's a good dude, you know, and he cares about his job, and he cares about us, and he cares about everybody there, you know. And it's fun. It's sort of the same thing, you know, with kind of the Quinn Wyatt scenes, you know. Bill can be overbearing and stuff as well. You know, he's not as, I guess, he's not as sort of, he's opinionated, but he's not as opinionated as Quinn, I would say. Like Quinn and Wyatt, because they've been together nonstop for his whole life, I think she has more of that. You know, we kind of play that a little more. And then Bill's still trying to navigate a tiny bit of how to deal with his sons and stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. because he had all that missing time. But yeah, I love working with Don too. You know, when it's Don and, you know, me and Don, or Scott, me and Don in a scene, you know, we always try and find some fun stuff or quips or quirks or, like, you know, things we can kind of rag on each other and, mm-hmm. you know, call each other out on. So, I, again, it's like those kind of relationships that I hope the audience gets to kind of like see a lot of those jokes and the fun moments and laugh at us while we laugh at ourselves, you know?
Oh, I think so. I think that dynamic definitely comes across.
Good. Yeah. We're really happy about that when we get to have those kinds of scenes. You know, we always just joke around and just, you know, we come up with things on the fly, and sometimes they get put in, sometimes they might be a little too much, and they're like, we got to tone that down a little bit.
All right. Well, we have a lot to talk to you about your real life as well.
Oh, yeah.
So away from B&B, much like Wyatt, you are surrounded by some pretty fantastic ladies. Your wife, Kelly Krueger, who daytime mm-hmm. fans know as YNR's Mac, and publicist Eva on B&B, and your brand new baby girl, Everly Jolie, just joined you on September 22nd. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So I want to know first, like, what your reaction was to finding out that you were having a daughter.
When I was having a daughter, I said, I mean, can I swear on here? I don't know if I can or not, but you could bleep me.
Holy shit,
is what I said. No, I was excited. I was really excited because, I only had an older brother growing up, you know, and it was me, my brother, my dad against my mom. And my mom was always over, you know, she was outnumbered and we would always pick on her and, you know, all that stuff growing up. So I never had a sister or sort of that female dynamic. So when we found out we were having a daughter, I was actually super excited. I was like, this is going to be interesting because I got to learn how to interact with this now. You know what I mean? You know, it was crazy. You know, it took us a little while to, you know, get pregnant and everything. And, you know, sometimes you don't realize it, but you put a lot of pressure on doing that. And some people can have a hard time getting pregnant. And I truly believe that it has to do with, you know, stress sometimes and pressure and overthinking things and, you know, worrying if it's you or if it's your partner or if it's this and that. And so there was a lot kind of going into that. And then when we found out we were pregnant, we were super happy. Found out it was a girl. I was, you know, over the moon about that. And, you know, this whole process of Kelly being pregnant too, that had its ups and downs as well, but all in all up, you know, it was kind of a great journey, you know, and just kind of watching Kelly go through the process, you know, cause it's her body and things that are changing like on the fly every minute. You're like, holy shit. Again, sorry, they got to be bleeped again.
just like your Emmy speech. We're used to it, Darren.
It's my personality. I apologize. Okay. I swear like a trucker. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, and then all this past year and all the things that we've done, been through and it's just been amazing. And all of a sudden, you know, on the 22nd, you have this baby and it's like, that's it. You're a parent now, apparently. It's crazy. I mean, even Kelly and I were talking this morning. We were sitting there as I was feeding her, you know, a bottle and she looked over, she's like, can you believe we're parents? Like, has it hit you yet? And I'm like, it's been 2 weeks. Like, yes, but no, but like, it's crazy. You know, we have this thing now, they send you off and they're like, oh yeah, here's your kid. That's it. Go be a parent now. And you're like, wait, what? Wait, no, how do I do this? And you just kind of navigate it.
So now before Kelly had the baby, how nervous were you about the birth itself?
I wasn't, just because I know she's a tough cookie. You know, Kelly is a tough cookie. She's been through a lot in her life and stuff like that, but she's just a super strong woman, you know, mentally and physically. And I was just like, you know, excited. I think there were, you know, I think she had a little fears going into it, you know, but she was, I mean, all in all, I think we were kind of both just like, okay, let's just do this. I think, you know, cause she went full term, you know, she wasn't early, she wasn't late. And I think she was at that point kind of going, all right, let's get this going. I want to, you know, let's get her out of here.
You know,
great
and all, but I'm good with the 9 months.
Exactly. Like, I think I'm okay with 40 weeks. Let's get her out, you know? So yeah, I mean, it was just great. I mean, I you know, once there weren't really a whole lot of fears, I think maybe there was a small one that maybe our life would change. Obviously, everybody comes up and tells you all their fears. They're always like, oh, your life changes, or oh, you're never going to sleep again, or blah, 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 blah. And I hate when people do that though, too, because, you know, a lot of people will come in and they'll tell you all their worst stories. And we're like, well, we haven't experienced it yet. So don't
ruin
tell us
it.
The negative. Yeah, God, it's going to be great. Like, who knows? She might sleep through the night, which actually, there's been several nights lately where she's slept like from 1 o'clock till 6-7 AM, like 6 hours. And we're like, geez, is that okay? Is she allowed to do that? I don't know. And people are like, wait, she does that? That's amazing. Like, cool. Great.
Right. See, you know, don't be spoiling it before the baby
comes.
Yeah.
Like, God, everybody with all your negativity. Shit. but yeah, it's great. You know, But, you know, I think we promised to each other too. We said, you know, let's just make sure that it's like, yes, we have a kid and yes, she has a lot of priority and a lot of things. But at the end of the day, you know, I always tell Kelly too, I'm like, you're my first priority. Like, remember, this baby's only going to be with us for 18 years and then she's out. Like, I'm kicking her out at that point, you know, she's got to go. So you and I are stuck together for 40 years, 50 years. She's only here for 18. You know what I mean? So we'll see, you know, let's see if I stick to that as well. I mean, obviously it's daddy's little girl, so we'll see.
That's really funny. But now that the pregnancy is over, do you look back on it as like, you feel like you held it together? Did you get sympathy cravings, sympathy weight gain? How rate the experience as, you know, partner and bystander?
Partner and bystander. Well, through the whole process, you know, her cravings and stuff changed. You know, I think first trimester she was eating, you know, she was craving a lot of mac and cheese and chicken tenders. And I was all for that. I mean, that's just childhood comfort food right there. I'm like, I'll have all the macaroni and cheese you can eat. Let's do it. And then I think toward the end of the pregnancy, she was craving, you know, well, not toward the end, I'd say through the whole thing too, she was craving a lot of Mexican food, which is my favorite. And she likes Chinese and sushi, you know, that's her thing, but she wasn't really craving that. She was craving like Mexican food, which is my favorite. And then also like cookies and sweets and stuff, which she doesn't normally eat. She likes salty chips. I like sweets. So it's like, she's like, this is definitely your kid. and I was like, hey, listen, that's it. You're outnumbered. So let's just bake some cookies and let's go to town.
Let's let her rip.
You know, I was fine with it. And now I think she's kind of getting back to normal. She's like, stop buying cookies. I can't do this anymore.
Your free pass is over.
It's over, you know, until little Everly starts voicing that she wants cookies. And then, you know, maybe then I can kind of have my little partner in crime. But yeah, I had sympathy cravings that, you know, certain things that she was eating, I'd be like, yeah, okay, all four. There were certain things I was like, you're definitely pregnant. This is crazy where you've mixed, you know, pickles and hummus and cookies and whatnot. It was just kind of strange combinations at certain times, but you know, but it was fun. It was fun seeing her go through that process and, you know, doing it with her.
Well, you were very open and candid, in a joint interview that we did with Kelly and you about the struggles that you did have to conceive. So tell us what the moment was like when you actually laid eyes on Everly for the first time.
It was surreal. It was like, you know, she's, I can probably tell you this, but Kelly, you know, toward the end of pushing and everything, she pulled her out. You know, she was like, I want to pull her out. Ever since I saw that episode of the Kardashians, I want to reach down and I want to pull her out at the end. And the doctor was like, okay, let's do this. So she pulled her out and put her on her chest and everything. And it was just like, what is happening? I guess it was just that moment of, it happened so quickly too. It's not like a, you know, a 30-minute process. It's like, he was like, reach down. And she's like, what? And he's like, pull her out. And she reached down, pulled her out, put her on her chest. It was like 20 seconds. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Now we have a kid.
And you brought
and
her
you
here.
See her, yeah. And you pulled her damn ass out. You know, she's crying and there, you know, there's four or five people kind of working on her, but she's just lying on her chest and you're just kind of looking at this thing going, wow, like we made that. Holy crap. Look at all that hair.
She has a lot of hair.
She's got a lot of hair and it's more than daddy has. And it's like, I don't understand how you got that, but Kelly had a lot of hair when she was born. So, we look back at some of the baby pictures that we have of her and I and I was this blonde toe head, but there wasn't a whole lot of hair and she had this dark full head of hair. So we know she got her genes, which is nice.
Your palette, Kelly's
fine
hair.
Fine with me. Yes, I'm fine with that. But yeah, you know, look at her and she's gorgeous. You know, she's just, they tell you everything changes, you know, as a father, you see your old daughter and everything changes. And it really kind of did. I looked at her and I was going, holy crap. Like, she's beautiful, you know?
Aww. Now, I know it's only been a couple of weeks, but how have the two of you been adjusting to the lifestyle change of having a newborn to take care of?
how have we been adjusting? That's exactly the way to do it, because she's got her own schedule. Everly, she gets up whenever she wants. She eats whenever she wants. She poops whenever she wants. And guess what? I got to deal with that. you just go with it. You know, we're dealing with it. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, everybody kind of, like I said, they tell you their horror stories of babies not sleeping and everything. And I'm going, yeah, there were a couple of nights where it's like, you know, she wouldn't necessarily sleep. And then we kind of looked at it, took a step back and looked at it. And we were like, there was this period from 11 PM to 3 AM where for a couple of nights in a row where she would just get up and want to eat, you know, she'd cry and she'd want to eat and she wouldn't want to go to sleep, but she would just want to eat the whole time. And looking back, Kelly was like, this is what it was like the last, like tail end of the pregnancy. We'd be going to bed at 11 PM and watching the news or something like that, or Friends or whatever was on. And,
not 30 Rock.
Not 30 Rock. I'm sorry, Katrina. but yeah, she said that she'd be in there at 11 PM when we were watching shows at 11 o'clock, and she'd be doing Pilates in there. And she's like, I don't know what you're doing in there, but she's like moving around like nobody's business. So we kind of knew that that was kind of her schedule that she was going to be on. And, you know, somebody told us, you know, sleep when she sleeps. And that's what we've been trying to do, is just sleep when she sleeps and be up when she's up. But all in all, like at nighttime, she's been a pretty good baby, trying to like stay on that 3 hour schedule of feeding and whatnot. And a couple of nights we've been able to sleep like 5-6 hours. So we're getting there. I think she's a really good baby, apparently.
That's good. Now, yeah. How are the dogs doing with their new little one in the house?
Their little sibling. They're good. I think Charlie is kind of, you know, she's the older boxer. She's, what is she, almost 15. She's she's a little protective, you know, of Kelly and baby, because Chance, the little one, you know, the new one he's such a little boy. But I don't think neither of them are threatened by her being here. You know, we kind of really made that point. And, you know, when we were in the hospital, we had her mom take little Everly's hat. You know, we had a hat after the first day with her smell on it, and had her mom take it here to give we had two pieces of clothes. There was a hat and there was something else, but we gave them two pieces to put in their beds to sleep with that first night before we came home, so that the dogs could kind of like smell her and get that smell and know that there's something here. And that's something that is going to be in this house, you know? But they've both been really good. I mean, they're both like, you know, Charlie's super gentle with her. Chance is not. Chance just wants to play and jump
so
on her and jump
cute.
On her.
Yeah, he's real cute.
he's literally, if I could describe him and his personality, he's the little brother you wish you never had. he just wants to play. He wants to poke you with his nose. He wants to growl at you and bark at you and run around the house like a crazy person until you really like put him in the corner and tell him he's time out. You know what I mean? But he's a good dog. He's a great guard dog. He's a good dog. He's very sweet. It's just, he gets these little moments right after he eats where he just needs to get, he's just so hyper. And for like an hour, we have to just like tire his ass out. Right. But all in all, both dogs have been very good with Everly and, you know, gentle with her, and they're not threatened and they're protective. And I think they realize it's like, all right, well, we're a party of five now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's so sweet. Now, has anyone from B&B met the baby yet?
Anybody met the baby? No, we haven't yet, just because, you know, I guess there's sort of like that, you know, our doctor and everybody kind of said there's a little bit of that incubation period of, you know, like 20 days or so. They're kind of like, just kind of chill with her and be with her. And, you know, you don't want a whole lot of people coming in and out of the house just in case, you know, people are sick and colds and I guess, you know, flu germs. Season's around the corner. Yeah. They're just kind of like, just chill with her and, you know, just be with her and stuff. So we've kind of been hunkered down here at the house. You know, people from B&B we've sent some pictures to and stuff like that. But nobody's really met her in person yet. I think Katrina might be coming over today, but I'm not sure.
You know, basically to watch just 30 Rock with you.
Well, basically
just brought us some selections of my favorite shows.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to put on 30 Rock and she can hold the baby and Kelly and I can watch 30 Rock. So,
I'll come in full circle here.
Yeah, exactly. Katrina can change a diaper and feed her and we'll just have a little day off. So it'd be perfect.
Well, if you were to bring her to work, who do you think is going to like be pushing other people aside to get first dibs on that baby?
Oh God. I do believe it's going to be Dawn and Torsten. Actually, I think Dawn and Torsten are the two that are going to fight it out because Torsten has been texting me a lot lately and just checking in on us. And he's been super Papa Bear. Yeah. I mean, when she was started going to contractions, we had a photo shoot at work and I had to leave early because I was like, I don't know. We might be in this. We might not. And that was on Wednesday. But she didn't go into labor until we didn't go until Friday, Saturday. So he had literally texted every day. He's like, do we have a baby yet? Where's our baby? Is our baby here yet? You know? So actually I do think Torsten's probably going to be like, oh God, pushing people aside to hold her and grab her. You know what I mean? So I think there'll probably be the two alpha males there fighting over it.
I would like to formally request an Insta story.
Oh, yeah.
Documenting that this. First
you
moment.
Definitely
yes.
need to document that for everybody.
I know. I think it'll be a fun thing to document. I'll definitely have to do it. That's a good idea.
Now, what about your family? They're in Hawaii. So are they going to come to you? You eventually going to go to them?
Well, no. So they were the only ones we kind of had come out. You know, Kelly's family, my family. We've slowly kind of had them you know come over and you know meet her and everything. My parents and my brother all three of them flew out from Hawaii, they were here for 2 weeks, sort of around the birth. You know, a couple of days before and you know for some time afterwards, and it was great. It was great having them. You know, they were staying. They were staying with my aunt who lives in, you know, a little farther away, but at least close enough that, you know, they were like, well, if you want us to come over, let us come over. And if you don't want us, don't, you know, we're fine. Just let us know when you need us. So they were kind of cool about that. But her mom and my mom are both like, you know, super over the moon about having a little granddaughter. You know, Kelly's mom, you know, already has a grandson with, you know, her brother and all that. But then, you know, having a little granddaughter, I think it's just interesting, you know, to kind of watch them interact together too. Cause I think she's super excited, but my mom, especially my mom has been hounding us for years. Like, when are you having a kid? Like, you know, does your father and I need to show you how to do it? And I'd say, mom, that's gross. I don't ever want to hear that out of your mouth ever again. She's super excited. I mean, she was chomping at the bit as soon as she found out that we had the baby and everything. So they came to the hospital and they, you know, saw her for the first time, but they didn't hold her until, you know, we got home. It was great. You know, I think they're both super excited and my dad and my brother left, but my mom, like right afterwards, I guess she'd been planning a road trip. So she's on a road trip right now up in Oregon and then she's coming back to get one last fix before she flies home to Hawaii. So
very nice.
I'm scared to imagine how many stuffed animals are being purchased on this road trip.
You have no idea. You have no idea. Oh, and she, you know, one thing we asked her too is, you know, we have the nursery and everything and, you know, above her crib, we saved sort of a blank wall. And my mom, obviously she's an artist, you know, and she painted, I don't know if I ever showed you, Steph, there was a painting that my mom made of our proposal in Paris.
Oh, no.
That was sort of a wedding gift to us is she took a photograph of the proposal with the Eiffel Tower in the background. And she painted a painting of our proposal, you know, off a photo. So that's in our living room here.
Oh, nice.
So we kind of said, you know, can you do something in the nursery here, you know, as sort of like a, you know, a little painting for Everly. And she was like, of course, you know, so.
Of Kelly pulling the baby out?
Yeah, basically it's a picture of Kelly pulling the baby out. There's placenta everywhere. Or no, amniotic fluid, whatever the term is. No, it's like this really beautiful, like little French country with the Eiffel Tower thing in the background and her name, Everly Jolie, on the wall. It's actually like super cute. And she was just happy to do it. Yeah.
I bet.
That's darling.
Wow. Yeah. We are just so happy for you. And
thanks, guys. Thank you.
And look forward to your Instagram posts because we cannot get enough photos.
Exactly.
So,
you know,
falling down on the job a little. So, you know.
I know. We need to
take some new pictures, guys.
I think they actually say post while the baby sleeps.
Yeah, is that what the thing? That's the term is? You know, don't sleep while the baby sleeps.
Yeah, post. While the baby sleeps. Time to post all your photos.
It sounded similar. It sounded like I might have gotten something messed up. You're right. There's actually some cute photos of us like sleeping, like Kelly and the baby sleeping. I caught a candid when I woke up, and they're like in the same position.
Yes, that was so Kelly, cute.
Kelly got a candid at me with our arms up, and I was going, "Oh, geez." So you know, there's some really funny, cute photos, but you know, it's. You know, we'll post some more stuff here pretty soon.
Okay, well, good.
We're just teasing you.
We tease. Well,
No.
Thank you for joining us, especially during this, you know, very exciting time for you. Yeah. And
no, of course.
We will talk
and
to you soon.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I mean, it was a fun time, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we know. We had fun too, Darren.
Send our love to
you
Kelly.
Yeah, you guys got a kicking show over here. I dig it.
That's right, we're fun.
All right, you guys.
Yeah, best to Kelly.
Okay, I will.
All right, talk soon.
Bye.
Thanks
so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Darren Brooks for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.